The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, of course, staying with the national fuel protests, currently on day four, a meeting is being held at the moment between various representative organisations and the government. Some of the protest organisers could be seen earlier being refused entry to the meeting this afternoon. And James Gagan, who is one of the spokespersons for the organisers of the protest, did say himself on primetime earlier this week that he was expected to attend the meeting, but he was not on the list today. I spoke to him a little bit earlier on and I started by asking him from his point of view what he made of the protesters being refused access to the meeting.
Yeah, we were told last night to meet up with John Connolly, the Fianna Fáil TD, at Boswell's Hotel for 2 o'clock, which we did, and we were here. And then word come through that, seeing as I had been on Liveline and gave my opinions on the lays, and I was questioned very hard about Micheál Martin, and I criticised him for the poor management of the country. And what I was told was that I was after criticising the Taoiseach so much that he wasn't allowing me inside Leinster House.
You were told by somebody that the reason that you were not allowed in was because you had personally criticised the Taoiseach.
That's exactly what I was told. It's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable.
And the other protesters who were also refused, John Dallin and others, there was four people there.
Yeah, they were told they were on the list to go in, and when they went down to the gates, their name wasn't on the security list to be allowed in. So it's just a terrible disrespect again. And we really relay this back around the country, and it looks like the country is up in arms. It's just shocking.
Can I just ask you, before we move on, who told you that? Who told you that the reason you were not allowed into the meeting was because you had criticised the Taoiseach?
John Connolly.
Okay.
That's what happened.
So James, what is the next move for the protesters? You're not involved in the meeting. The meeting is being held between national organisations and four members of government.
Yeah.
What is now going to happen in terms of the protests with you not having been allowed in?
The protests all over the country are in shock, and it has really, it's been a bit more of a, I don't know, like Micheál Martin exploded the other day when he insulted him, but this is after raising now to a different level. It's going to go out of control.
Sorry, just say that again.
I can see this getting very serious.
And what do you mean by that, James?
Well, they're not going to back down. There's no one going to back down. It's just disgusting behaviour by the government.
And when you say there's no one going to back down, I presume you're talking about the protesters. I mean, we have heard
the protesters are after actually they're saying they're just dug in completely now. Just like they were hoping to get good news, and now maybe the good news will come out. Yes, because every other organisation who has gone in with our list of demands.
So I'm sure they would argue that they're their list of demands.
Not identical to the percent. We put the list out early this week, and identical list to the percent.
In that case, then I'm slightly confused, because one of the things you have said consistently, the protest groups, is that those organisations do not represent you. But if they have the exact same list of demands as yourself, then surely they do represent you.
They do. They are the other groups.
Okay, so you're saying those groups do represent you. So surely that's okay then, no?
If those figures are worked on and agreed to, then the process will step down.
Okay, but so if the national organisations that are in there, hauliers, farmers, etc., come out with something that is to their satisfaction, then the protest will end.
If they get their demands, we would be happy, because they have basically gone in with our demands. So that is good news, I suppose.
Okay. You said, though, that this isn't going to end, that if the demands aren't met, that this is going to end. The Taoiseach, obviously, and members of government have said that these blockades are illegal, that you're obstructing vital infrastructure, and that, obviously, the Minister for Justice has said that the defence forces can be deployed, and I know a large Garda force has been at some of the refineries today. When you say that they're not going to end, are you saying that if the guards, the defence forces act to, say, move people from the refineries or the depots, how will protesters respond to that?
It'd be worse than throwing petrol in a fire.
In what way?
those people, like, these are all agri contractors, plant hire men, machinery men. They're probably the toughest men in the state, and they're not going to be bullied, and they're feeling now as if they're being bullied by the government, and that's the wrong way to go. This should be done under dialogue and peaceful protest.
Are you saying that this should be done under peaceful protest, but this is
100%.
But are you saying that you could see violence occur? Is that what you're saying, James?
It won't be started by the protesters. Any violence that might happen will be started by the police or the guards or the army or the basic government.
If the guards attempt to physically move you, will there be violence?
I can't see our men moving. I just can't see them moving. Like, they're not the men. They're not the type of men that's going to move.
Okay.
I'm getting calls from all over the country that we're here for the long haul.
We're seeing reports, James, that because the protesters yourselves have been refused access to the meeting, that a nationwide call has been put out on some of your social media channels that are used by the protest group, calling on people, ordinary people who are not involved in contractors or hauliers or agriculture or any of those things, to come with their vehicles, their regular cars, I suppose, and join the protest. Is that what you're calling for now?
Well, personally, I haven't been on social media at all evening because I've just been too busy here. So I'm not up to date on social media of what's happening, but it wouldn't surprise me because.
Do you accept any, James, of what the Taoiseach and the government are saying? That vital critical infrastructure, the stuff about, for example, 200 petrol stations running short of fuel now, empty some of them, dry some of them, that we have a critical shortage of fuel for our emergency vehicles, our ambulances, particularly in rural Ireland and the Western Seaboard. And also, the Taoiseach has made the point very strongly that we are in a global oil shortage. And if tankers are not allowed dock at our ports with oil, they will go elsewhere and other places will be glad to have them. That this is an act of self-sabotage against Ireland.
Where's the proof of that?
Well, I think it's common sense to say that if the ports are blockaded and things can't get in or get out of them, there are people out there waiting in the wings who would be more than happy to take our oil supply because their oil supply is also under strain.
It's up to the government to get the oil flowing. I know today in Cork this morning there was a lot of fuel let out, and there was fuel let out for emergency vehicles. And like last night, an awful lot of fuel went out of Dublin Port because we were here on a Collins Street last night. And basically a convoy of fuel lorries from probably the southern half of the country came up and filled in Dublin and were allowed out. There was no protest at Dublin Port. So an awful lot of oil did get into the system. And the other side of it is there's so many lorries being parked up.
All right. Let's come back to the meeting. If those groups that are in there come out with some kind of a package from government, some kind of a cobbled together thing, are you saying that you would be willing to call on protesters to stand down?
Oh, 100%.
Okay. Supposing all your demands aren't met, because in a negotiation
we don't mind who gets the deal. Like, there's nobody going to claim credit for the deal. Well, everyone knows it was the protest group who started the protest who will get the prices down. But like no organisation in there can come out to see and say, well, we got it. We know who has got it. They're in there now speaking on our behalf.
Are you saying that the protest got it?
If there was no protest, there'd be no deal.
Okay. And is that why you describe yourselves as the voice of Ireland?
Well, I've been asked to be the voice of Ireland. It's not that I really wanted to be honest, but I'm probably not a bad public speaker. And I was given the job, and I think I was told and advised what to say on behalf of the people of Ireland.
On the people of Ireland. It's a big statement to say you speak on behalf of the people of Ireland. I would say most elected politicians wouldn't necessarily say. Can I play you a clip of Micheál Martin talking about you, James? Have a little listen to what he has to say.
They're self-appointed, essentially. We cannot accept a situation where self-appointed people dictate or determine who gets on, who can drive on a motorway or who can access support or egress support. We can't accept that. And that's a self-appointed group, not democratically elected. I would invite all of those people to go for elections. And we have an election. Just put their names forward. That's what we have in this country, a parliamentary democracy. It has stood us in good stead for over 100 years, you know, and I think most people get that and most people accept that.
He has a point, doesn't he, that if you do want to represent the people of Ireland, running for election is the proper way to do so?
Possibly. But if Micheál Martin was doing his job correctly, this protest would not have happened.
I think that it's quite easy to hurl from the sidelines at the Taoiseach, who is elected and does have a mandate.
Like,
would you run for election?
I absolutely would. I've been asked today by a lot of people to run for election because.
So you're considering it.
Well, what they're saying is we need people like you who will actually stand up for the common person on the ground and put their point across.
Okay.
Like, I employ people. I'm a businessman that employs people. I know from the ground up how business works and how efficiency works and how not to waste money.
There is a difference, James, though, because if you do run for election, if you are a public representative, you're open to public scrutiny. We see in the papers today that you have against you revenue charges of almost €550,000 over the last 6 years. Over €500,000 over 6 years you owe to the revenue.
I don't owe it. It's paid.
As of when?
According to my account.
Because the last claim from the revenue against you was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but there has been an accountant's error which started during COVID, and there's actually a VAT audit going on at the moment on me.
Yeah.
And the feedback...
€548,000 is what revenue say that you currently owe them. If you were running for election, people would have something to say about that. For example, you were on air with us on Tuesday and you were saying to Shane Coleman, how would you feel if you had to pay a carbon tax bill of €21,000? But it turns out that you're not paying your tax to the tune of almost €550,000, never mind the carbon tax.
Well,
that's your income tax.
Currently going on does not say I owe that money. What has happened is a lot of those figures were made up from estimates which were totally wrong, and they are in the process of being corrected now.
Okay. Other things that might stand against you if you run for election. You have a conviction of 13 counts of animal cruelty against you.
That is correct.
Yeah.
But there's a simple explanation for it. That happened back years ago in my father's time, and how it comes into my name was when I was only 18, the herd number was put in my name. So as my name was on the herd number.
Okay.
There was an issue one winter. I wasn't actually working at home much. We did get in trouble first. We held our hands up. We were brought to court.
Yeah.
But on the day in court...
You were convicted and fined. 65 cattle died on your farm in a year. And I know you're saying it's nothing to do with you, but...
That is
what's being reported from the courts. But also, James, you're saying
true.
This was nothing to do with you. You did an interview at the time in the Offaly Independent where you explained your involvement in it, and you did not say at the time it was nothing to do with you. That's something you're saying now, which is quite different.
It was because if you have serious animal cruelty issues, you lose your herd number. And I have the same herd number since I was 18. It's not possible to keep a herd number count.
All right. Look, we move on from that now. Just a last question to you. What do you expect to happen next?
Hopefully the negotiations go well this evening with all the groups, and hopefully we get a resolution and we can all go home. You know, but like... For the government to come out and
do you believe that you have control over the protesters? Just James, this is the last question. That if you are satisfied with what comes out of these talks, that if you say to people, go home, they will do so.
I'm a spokesperson. I'm not the organizer of the protest. And there is a lot of people who are leaders of the protest, and they would all have to be consulted. I have no call on it. Like.
All right. Look, but
I would be happy to step down. If there's a reasonably good resolution.
We will leave it there. That is James Gagan there. One of the spokespersons for the fuel protest. Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.